I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. We just explored what life is like for those who don't fit into traditional gender roles. This alienation can be destructive for youngsters, though, who can't express their feelings. In the studio with me now is Sean Colozzi, a clinical social worker with the Risk Reduction Program Division of Adolescent Medicine at Children's Hospital, which is located here in Los Angeles. Sean, nice to have you in studio.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
The programs offered at Children's Hospital aim to help adolescents who may be struggling to fit into conventional gender roles. A number of your programs target young people in need, including homeless, runaway teens, HIV-positive youth, or those at risk for HIV, as well as youth with substance abuse problems. Let's start with this. Let's talk about some of the specific challenges that you encounter every day with the young people who come through your door.
Well, I think, first of all, a lot of our kids, when they come in, they are in a state of crisis. So some of the first things that we have to work on is just making sure that they have a safe place to stay and that they are going to be okay. We might be dealing with like a suicidal crisis. So those are just some of the things that we might face on a daily basis.
Let me ask this from not so much from a clinical standpoint, but perhaps from a more cultural, social standpoint. And it's this. One of the issues that faces adolescents with varying sexual identities today is to what degree they can and should be integrated into what I'll call a general population school setting. I know in Los Angeles, for example, you may be aware of this. I'm imagining that you probably are. There is a school specifically for kids who are identified as lesbian, gay, or transgender. Is segregation the best way to go here?
Well, that is a difficult question, because I think in the perfect world, it would be great if we could all actually be we could all be integrated into the same school system. But I know some of our youth, our trans youth, and our young gays and lesbians, they have been ostracized, they have been discriminated against, beaten up. And so sometimes this is the safest place for them, is to be actually segregated so they can actually have a good education.
Taking the safety issue aside, setting that aside for the moment, do they prefer to be segregated?
You know, I don't know if they would prefer to be segregated. I think they would prefer to be accepted overall by society. But just to be able to fit into some place, I think, is just a wonderful thing for them. And so some of them have chosen to go to these places, these high schools.
So I would imagine that counseling is a major component of your program.
Yes, it is.
What do you do? What do you say? How does it work?
Well, I actually work with HIV positive youth and with transgender youth, so there are many different issues that do come up. But with both populations, a big issue is about disclosure. Sometimes it can be about disclosure of their HIV status. Sometimes it could be disclosure of their transgender status to like a dating partner or to their families. So those are some of the issues that do come up.
So I would imagine with regard to disclosure that it's a matter of whether to disclose, when to disclose, and how to disclose.
Exactly, that is correct. And also, yeah, just the right time to disclose, because sometimes it might not be safe to disclose. So I think that's something that we have to really help them with, that they have to think about the consequences also of disclosing.
Is there any method to how to disclose that will be less painful?
I guess it depends on what you're talking about as far as disclosure. For example, like my transgender females who are dating, they're dating their partners, and they're thinking about, should I disclose to my dating partner? Then we have to think about safety issues. Like, do I disclose before I kiss the person? Do I disclose before I have sex with a partner? And so I do have a transgender group, and we discuss these types of issues. Also, if they're at a club or something and a boy approaches them, it's like, do I disclose here or do we wait until I'm on the phone with them so that it's a little bit safer to disclose?
Do you ever advise non-disclosure, period?
I don't know if I ever actually just advise non-disclosure, but I think it's best that they have all of the options available and discuss the consequences. Then they get to make that decision. Because there are dangers. Some of them will be kicked out of their homes if they do disclose. They might not get the education if they do disclose. So they have to decide, is this the right time to disclose? And am I ready for that? Do I have a plan of action if it doesn't go as well as I think it would go?
Here's my final question for you. As you know, we had Jennifer Baumgartner on earlier, as well as the transgendered guest that we had. And both seem to feel that now the time is a little better for them to be who they are. Is it better?
In some respects, I think it is better. There's definitely a lot more. I think I do see more out there in the media to show, so they do have a little bit more role models, but it still has so much further to go. There's still so much discrimination, so I think that does need to change.
So we've made some progress, but there's much more progress to be made.
Definitely.
That was Sean Colozia. Am I saying it
Yes,
right?
Colazzi.
Colozia, a clinical social worker at Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. Sean, thank you very much for joining us here in our NPR West studios.
Thank you very much.